In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How did you get to be the person you are? What makes you behave the way you do? Why is your life the way it is? Or how will your life be whenever you get to wherever it is you are going? For instance, why are you watching this video today? There are at least two schools of thought that try to provide answers to questions such as those. Don't let the names bog you down, but the first school of thought we might call determinism. Basically, this school of thought says that everything you do in life, your likes and your dislikes, your attitudes and beliefs, are already set. They are determined for you at birth, or perhaps shortly thereafter, largely by forces beyond your control. For example, Sigmund Freud might say that your personality is determined by your early childhood experiences, your relationship with your parents, and how you were potty trained. Behavioral psychologists like B.F. Skinner would say that most of what you do is determined by what you learned. Some things you did were rewarded, and accordingly, you kept doing them. Other things you did, you were punished for, and you stopped doing them, or you learned how to do them in a way that you wouldn't get caught. Still, other psychologists would say who you are, what you think and do, is determined almost entirely by genetics. The popular theories today say that our behavior is determined by our DNA and hormones and neurotransmitters and such. Determinism would say that you are watching this morning because all sorts of forces came together to motivate you to do that today. In contrast to the school of determinism, which says that things are set for you from the beginning and then you follow the prescribed course, is the school of fatalism. Fatalism says that you are hurtling towards some predestined conclusion to your life that you cannot change. The end of the story is set for you no matter where you come from or no matter what you do. Our destination ultimately determines then our thoughts and our actions, even if we make efforts to the contrary. Fatalism says that if you are destined to be a success or destined to be a failure, your destiny will affect every part of your life and that there's nothing you can do to alter your fate. Fatalism would say that you are watching today because it is necessary in the scheme of the universe for you to do that. The problem with both determinism and fatalism is that they remove the notion of free will and individual responsibility from human life. If determinism is correct, then we can excuse whatever we do by saying, my environment made me do it, or my education made me do it, or my chromosomes made me do it. Who then could be held accountable for any crime or applauded for any heroic deed? And if fatalism is correct and the outcome of my life, including its ending, is already certain, then why diet and exercise? Why wear seat belts or motorcycle helmets? Fatalism says if it's your time to go, it's your time to go, and you can't stop it. If some sort of cosmic karma determines all our life situations, then why help anyone with anything ever? Why help someone in need? Aren't they then just getting exactly what they deserve? We in the Christian tradition have always believed in free will, or at least free will up to a certain point. We, of course, recognize that nature and nurture, both genetics and learning, influence people's behavior and attitudes. In practical matters, human beings exercise free will. What you're going to eat for lunch today, whether or not you choose to marry, whether or not you obey the laws of the state of New York, is largely up to you. The one thing you have no control over, though, is your own salvation. You cannot choose to be saved. We don't choose God. He chooses us. That is not what a lot of churches are preaching today, but it is the Orthodox Lutheran teaching. And I'll try to say a little bit more about what we mean by that. There was another psychological fad popular a few years ago. The fancy name for it was transactional analysis. The slogan that epitomized that fad, which was also the title of a best-selling book that it was based on, was, "I'm okay, you're okay." But the fact is, I'm not okay, and neither are you. Although we have the free will to choose to obey God's law or not to obey God's law, because of the power of original sin, all human beings choose sin. We are born into a broken relationship with God, a fractured relationship passed down to us by our parents. As sinners, we are all out of whack with God. And there's nothing we can do on our own to make up for it or to make ourselves straighten up and fly right. We simply can't. In a sense, that has been determined for us. But that's not the last word on the subject. Thanks be to God that He has given us a solution to our problem. The problem being that our sin would eternally separate us from God. And that solution is Jesus Christ. In God's great love, He sent His only Son to die in our place for our sins and rise again that we might have eternal life with Him. Jesus chooses us, undeserving as we are, to receive His gift of salvation. Baptism is the seal that identifies us as God's chosen people forever. God wills for all people to be saved, and in that sense, our destiny is predetermined in a positive way. This tension between free will and God's irresistible grace is powerfully illustrated in our first lesson and in our gospel reading today. In our first lesson, the Israelites had been freed from their slavery in Egypt, and although the Lord had led them into freedom, they still became anxious because there was no food for them. They did not trust God to provide for them, and so they complained and grumbled. A very normal human reaction, but sin nonetheless. God had every right and reason to be angry at the Israelites and abandon them. But our Heavenly Father is not a deadbeat dad. He remembered His promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He recalled that these Israelites would be the people through which His Son would be born. So miraculously, God sent them manna into the wilderness, bread that appeared each day, enough to meet their daily needs. In our gospel reading, the crowd that followed Jesus badly misunderstood Him. They sought Him out because they wanted bread. They could think of nothing beyond their own stomachs. Rather than leaving them to the darkness and confusion of their minds, Jesus revealed to them His identity and mission. He told them that He was the bread of life, given for the benefit of the world. In both of these instances, God, who was always with them, made His presence especially known in the life of His people and gave them His blessings, even to the unknowing and undeserving. What about our lives? We like to think that we are self-made people. We like to think that everything we have, we earned. We like to think we are not dependent on anyone, not even God, if we'd be honest with ourselves. But when we think about it deeply, how much of what we have and enjoy is really a gift? An unmerited gift from God. How is God working in our lives, seen and unseen, blessing us? What do we have that ultimately didn't come from Him? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. For instance, I'm probably the first member of the Ash family to ever graduate from college. I'm certainly the first Ash to graduate from seminary. Is any of that to my credit? Can I call that an achievement of my own making? Not really. I owe a great deal to the people and the institutions that gave me scholarships, including Messiah, my home congregation. I also owe something to the founder of my seminary and all of the faculty, past and present. And especially I owe something to my wife and family, who sacrificed to support me materially and spiritually. God worked through all these individuals and institutions, blessing me in more ways than I could ever know. Certainly, it is the same in your life. Think of how much you owe your parents and families, your teachers and coaches, and other people who have influenced you and helped you both in large and small ways. God was working through them, whether you knew it or not. On several occasions, I could have literally died if not for the intervention of doctors and nurses and others. And I know that that is also true for many of you. God has helped us, provided for us, and preserves us in so many often unseen ways. Anything we have, anything we are, any good in our lives is due to Him and Him alone. If only we will take the time to look, we can see God's blessings all around us. There are good things everywhere we look. Good gifts come to us like manna in the wilderness. We may never understand all the complexities of human behavior and free will. We may never understand ourselves entirely. But that's okay. God knows us, and He loves us, and He is with us. Moreover, He is providing for us. He is leading us and guiding us. We are being saved. Our ultimate future is secure. Live confident in that knowledge. Amen.